chapter 12, 1 Kings chapter 12. And as you're turning there, if you follow along in the daily Bible reading schedule that Pastor set for us in our church bulletin, we are looking at a passage that you had just recently read through. And so we're looking forward to going back here to 1 Kings chapter 12. As you're turning there, I would like to say thank you to our pastor for the opportunity to preach this evening. And then also thank you for being in your place. It's exciting to be meeting back in person for our midweek services. I was talking to someone, even just this past week, they were saying how they've not been back at church. And I really wasn't talking to them, trying to get them to come back to church. But they just came out and said, you know, we really need to be back in church. We've just been lazy. And I said, okay, I'm not the Pope. You don't have to confess to me. And they said, it's just been really convenient and easy to kind of watch online, but we really need to be back. And I said, we'd love to have you back. And I was thinking even of the kids' time object lesson this past week, how we really do need one another. And it's important not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And may God help us not take that for granted. So I appreciate you being in your place. And good to see all the teens over here to my right and scattered throughout the auditorium. And I have to read a text message from one of the teens. I won't mention their name. The initials are John Henry Larkin. This was at 5:10. Are we hearing you preach tonight in the service? Question mark. And maybe it's just me, but I'm reading into the text now. Do you read into the text? Maybe it's just me. Are we hearing you preach tonight? Do we have to hear you preach tonight in the main service? Can we please have our own teen service? I'm reading into it. And so then I respond, I can sense your excitement. And he says, yes, very. And then I told him he may be the only one excited, but I appreciate the support of the teens. He said he's going to make sure that he takes notes. And so he's sitting at the front. I really believe he didn't mean that from his text message here. But thank you for being in your place. And then number three, I want to say thank you to our church family for giving us, the Sigmani family, the privilege to serve here at Worth Baptist Church. I'm looking around. Joy Scheidel? Joy, yes. Anytime I get a chance to call out Joy Scheidel, especially on September the 25th, I always want to do so. September 25th is her birthday, and so we just celebrated her birthday. But that was also our first Sunday here at Worth Baptist Church and in Texas. And so we've been here for 4 years. So, Joy, happy late birthday. I know you're not embarrassed at all. Good to have folks visiting from Indiana. They came all the way down from Indiana to hear me preach. It's Indiana, right? You were in Ohio, now in Indiana. Tom, good to see you here. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. Right before we look at this passage, I want us to notice to my right here a table as our object lesson. So we've been having kids' time on Sunday, and I've been using a lot of our children for our kids' time object lesson. And there's a couple teens that said, when will we ever get to be chosen to be part of kids' time? And I thought, it's really for kids, not for teenagers. And so I was going to think about how could I use a teenager. And so I was just going to pick some random teenager that was here. But Daniel volunteered at the very beginning. He sat at the very front row. And before I could even sit down, Daniel said, can I help tonight? I said, sure, I need a volunteer. So Daniel, why don't you come on up? Let's give Daniel a hand. Yes. We'll give you a mic here. I said, appreciate you volunteering to help. I said, do you know what I'm going to do? He said, no. And so I appreciate his enthusiasm. So Mason, I saw the guitar up here. I said, well, I'm going to need you to play the guitar. And in each one of these bags, there's a note that you'll have to play on the guitar. 10 different notes. He said, okay. I said, do you know how to play guitar? He said, no. I said, I appreciate the enthusiasm. I can't hear music, so I wouldn't be able to tell if he played it right or wrong. But that's not what we're doing. We have 10 bags up here, if you'll notice. And in the 10 bags, Daniel, 9 of them are empty. They have absolutely nothing in it. One bag, and only one bag, has a $10 gift card to Brahms Ice Cream. Yes. The game, the object lesson, is very simple. You get a chance to pick one of the bags. You get a chance to make one decision. and I've given you a mic. No pressures, but everybody's watching. What is your choice? 1 through 10.
I'm going to choose number 7.
You're going to choose number 7. All right, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Let's reveal it. You can go have a seat. I'm going to reveal it to you and to the church. So either you win $10 to Brahms Ice Cream, or you win absolutely nothing. The title of the message tonight is, are you making the right decision? Are you making the right decision? 1 Kings chapter 12 we'll come to. Let me give you just a little background for those of you that maybe have not been reading up to this point. But in the beginning of 1 Kings, if you'll turn back just a few pages to chapter 3, in the beginning of 1 Kings, we are introduced to the wisest man in all of the Bible outside of the Lord Jesus. That's King Solomon. Solomon was given the opportunity to have anything he wanted. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, he humbly asked for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, look at verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And in verse 9, notice Solomon's response. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, verse 12, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. We'll stop reading right there. But may God help us in our prayers and in our asking to ask for wisdom. That's what we find here. So you read the next few chapters, you find Solomon in all of his wisdom. Solomon had a great start, but unfortunately, he had a bad finish. 1 Kings chapter 11, you find that Solomon takes many pagan wives, and they eventually turn his heart away from the Lord. And I believe that's just a reminder to us, especially teenagers. You may start well, but you're not guaranteed to finish well. Just because you have a good start doesn't mean you're guaranteed to finish well. And so in 1 Kings chapter 11, at the very end, verse 43, it says, and Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So we come here to 1 Kings chapters 12. Solomon's successor was his son, Rehoboam. 1 Kings chapter 14, we won't turn there. Verse 21 says that Rehoboam was 41 years of age when he took the throne. And at the very start of his reign, Rehoboam was presented, kind of like Daniel, with a very big time decision that would change the course of history. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. If you didn't read it a few weeks ago, you'll have to go back and read it for yourself. But you'll find that the course of history was changed because of the decision that Rehoboam made. Look at verse 4. Thy father, the people come. Let me give you this background. The people had been living under a heavy burden, which included high taxes and forced labor. They were tired of working overtime. And so they come to the new king, Rehoboam, and here's what they said. They said, thy father, verse 4, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Verse 5, and he, speaking of Rehoboam, said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. So the people were tired of paying high taxes and working really hard for the king, just so that the king could live in a magnificent house and be pampered by servants and have a gourmet meal every time. And so they asked that their workload be lightened and their taxes wouldn't be as high. The kingdom was not in good shape at all. And only Rehoboam at this time had a chance to make things better. Rehoboam was facing a big time decision. Decisions, and decisions. We're all faced with decisions every day. Can you think of how many decisions you've made today? I mean, it's 7:30-ish. Some of us have been up for 12 hours plus straight. It's hard to imagine. We've made a lot of decisions for the last 12 hours. Like the first decision is, should I get up? How many of you use an alarm clock? Yes. How many of you this morning, be honest, you hit the snooze button on your alarm clock? We're in church, don't lie. Yes, I was there. I actually think I hit snooze and then I turned it off. How many of you did that? Yes, I've been at the point there before you hit snooze, and then your lovely spouse is mad and upset and gives you the elbow, and so then you cut it off and you're a few minutes late. How you make the decision to get up? You make the decision to brush your teeth. I hope you made that decision to brush your teeth. How many of you brush your teeth first thing right when you get up? Yes, I'm with you. My wife does not brush her teeth at the very beginning. She has to have a cup of coffee. How many of you have to have a cup of coffee first thing in the morning? Several folks like that. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm more of a like 16-ounce bottle water guy. I like chocolate milk as well, too. But she always has a cup of coffee before she brushes her teeth. We make decisions like that. You made a decision today of what you're going to wear. You made the decision today if you're going to get up and go to work. How many of you went to work today? God bless you for that. Thank you for being at church this evening. How many of you went to school? Kids? Yes? How many of you are homeschool? You're like, I never go to school. I'm always at home. We make a lot of decisions. Maybe the most important decision that I make every day is, what will I eat today? I disappointed my son in a big time way just a couple weeks ago. He was asking me about my favorite hobbies, and I told him it's not basketball and it's not golf. I like to eat. It's like my hobby. I enjoy trying new food and eating different types of food. And so throughout the day, I've usually got my mind planned. Like, okay, here's my schedule. What will I eat in between or during the meetings that I have? I know, very spiritual there. Some sources say that the average adult makes 35,000 choices a day. According to one research from Cornell University, we make around 226.7 decisions each day just on food alone. That's a lot of decisions just on food. I wrote this on the top of my Bible here as we're talking about decisions. Your future will be a byproduct of the decisions you are making today. Write that down, teenagers. Your future will be a byproduct of the decisions you are making today. My pastor in college would say many times, the days that you are living are not as important as the choices and the decisions you're making today. William Jennings Bryan, who served in the United States House of Representatives and also Secretary of State, before he passed away, he gained national attention for attacking the testimony or the teaching of evolution. And may God raise up more people in our country to attack the teachings of evolution. But William Jennings Bryan said this: destiny is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. And so we're going to look just at a few Bible principles from the life of Rehoboam and in this story about biblical principles in decision making. I wrote down just a few things to consider before making those big time decisions. Can I give them to you real quick? Number one, seek godly counsel. Seek godly counsel. 1 Kings chapter 12, look at verse number 6. It says, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do you advise that I answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Verse 8, maybe some of the saddest words that I've read recently in God's word. Notice the phrase. The Bible says, but he, speaking of Rehoboam, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him which stood before him. As we come here, we look at the life of Rehoboam and we have to keep in mind that he was the son of the wisest man to ever live. There's no doubt that he had all the resources in hand to make the right decisions. Look back at verse number 6. It says, King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. And notice this phrase, that stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived. He had all the resources to make the right decisions. As a matter of fact, at the very end of Solomon's life, he writes a letter to his son Rehoboam, the book of Proverbs, that's what you have. And Solomon writes to Rehoboam in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, he says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And I want to ask us this question tonight, adults and young people alike. Do you have a multitude of counselors in your life? Because before you make any big time decision in your life, you ought to consult people, and especially godly people in your life. I'm afraid that Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook have become our counselors. Like, we're not sure how we're going to vote, so let's go on Facebook and check it out. We watch Fox News and CNN and CBS and ESPN and ABC and NBC and TNT and what else is there? A, B, C, D, E, F. Yes. We start seeking all those things for counsel. But I want us to know that we need godly counsel. And Rehoboam had godly counsel in his life. Can I make this application to the teenagers? Where will I go for college? You ought to seek godly counsel before you make a decision that way. Before you run off and get married, that you, with that special someone you met on Instagram, you ought to seek godly counsel about it. Can I speak to all of us as adults? Hey, before you quit your job and move to another state or move to another country, before you uproot your family and leave, you ought to seek counsel. Before you get mad at the pastor because he didn't acknowledge you and you run away, you ought to seek counsel. I don't know who your team of counselors should be, but I know at least one person that should be in your counseling team. Can I give you a name? I'm just trying to be a help to us tonight. His name's Tyler Gillett. I'm kind of glad he's not here. He didn't ask me to say any of this, but he's your pastor. He's the pastor of this church. He's the leader that God has set here at this church. And I think before you make any big time decision, you ought to consult the pastor of your church. What I'm trying to say is you ought to communicate with him. Now, he is just a man, but he's your pastor. Communicate with him. He won't have all the answers. He may give you answers that you don't like. But you ought to consult him because he is God's man for this time at this place. I believe that he will pray for you. And I believe he will direct you and your family to making the right decisions because he cares for you. Seek godly counsel. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not going to do it. The boy yells at his mother as he storms out of the house. This is a very familiar scene in our society. Those words may change a bit, but essentially the message is the same. The person is not open to advice because his mind is closed and made up. Some advice may be sought, but that advice is only heeded if it reinforces the decisions that we've already made. It's our human nature to reject counsel and to do things our own way. But I want us to know, even as older adults here, the best of people have blind spots, and we need insight from others. As I make that statement, I'm reminded of just driving. Like, you're not going to be a good driver on the road unless you have your rear view mirror, unless you have your side mirrors. You and I need help in our decision making. When we come to this passage here in the life of Rehoboam, teenagers, it's okay to listen to those that are gray-headed. Actually, it probably would be good for you to have conversations with those that are gray-headed. And those of you that are gray-headed or without any hair, it probably would be good for you to have conversations with young people because they need godly counsel. They need direction from those that are older. Don't make life's choices, teenagers, on the suggestions of those who have no more life experiences than you do. Can I say that again? Don't make life's choices on the suggestions of those who have no more life experiences than you do. Like, asking your buddy about relationship and marriage is probably not the best thing to do. Like, he can't keep a girlfriend either, all right? So, asking him about a job situation, if you should quit because you don't like working there, that's probably not the best advice. Look, when making decisions, this is a great Bible principle here. We see in Rehoboam's life, that he was seeking counsel, but he didn't listen to that counsel. So number one, seek godly counsel in your life. Rehoboam consulted the old men, but then he went to his peers. That's what it says there. Teenagers, notice this. Look what it says. He said he forsook the counsel of the old men, verse 8, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. He went to his peers for instruction and counsel. Negative. I'm not saying you shouldn't have friends and talk to your friends, but when you need godly counsel and you're about to make a big time decision, find those that have had some life experiences that will pray for you, that will guide you through. Seek godly counsel. Can I give you this as point number two here? Don't make decisions based on your feelings and your emotions. Don't make decisions based on your feelings and your emotions. Notice how Rehoboam responds with his feelings and emotions, because he goes to his buddy right beside him. They were playing ball together, basketball, football, and they're growing up riding their bikes. Hey, what do you think we should do? I'm the king now. What do you think I should do? And they're like, yeah, you know what you should do? And so they started lifting him up. Part of his emotion was his pride now. He was being lifted up. But maybe part of it was also jealousy, because if you do any sort of research here, the life of Jeroboam is coming to meet Rehoboam. So notice, go back to chapter 11, verse 11, all right? Chapter 11, verse 11. Now Solomon had forsaken the Lord. His heart had been turned. And because of that, notice verse 11. It says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, he was the king at the time, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Now go to verse 31, chapter 11, verse 31. Here's where Jeroboam comes into the picture. And he said to, verse 31 of chapter 11, and he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel. Behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. Now look at chapter 12, verse 2. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, that's the name, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon. And Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Then that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto who? Rehoboam. Do you see the story here? So Rehoboam now has the opportunity to make a decision to be a help, but because of his feelings and his emotions and his pride and his jealousy, he let that get in the way. And I want to just emphasize this second point here. Don't follow your feelings. Dear Christian, don't follow your feelings. One preacher said it this way. Don't believe everything you feel. Your emotions are your greatest liars. Preach truth to your feelings, and your feelings will change. One of the best advices I've ever received, ever in my life. Write this down. Everyone, yes. Mark it down. I'm giving you time. Yes. One of the best advices I've ever received was to never make a big time decision when I'm emotionally high or emotionally low. Can I give you an example? Teenagers, I'm trying to help us out here. Yes. I'm mad at my parents. I'm running away from home. I just got $10 to Brahms. I'm buying a new car. I just failed that test in that class. I'm quitting school. I don't like what the pastor said. I'm quitting church. Stop following your feelings. Don't make decisions based on your feelings. Here's what the Bible says. Can I give you a reference? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't ever forget the deceitfulness of my heart and your heart. One of the biggest lies that you'll ever hear. If it feels good, don't do it. Exactly. Yeah, that's what culture and society is saying. If it feels good, just do it. No, I want to go to the opposite end. If it feels good, don't do it. You cannot trust your flesh. You cannot trust your heart. You cannot trust your emotions. Brother Earl preached a great message Sunday night, Genesis chapter 13, Lot. Lot lifted up his eyes and he chose the well. You know what happened with Lot? He got his feelings and emotions involved with it. Joshua chapter 7, a great Bible story, the story of Achan. The Bible says that he saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid the possession. And because of his feelings and emotions and his bad decision-making, guess what? It affected his life. It affected his family. It affected the whole country. One quote I read recently about the education system in America, I thought it was kind of unique, that goes with the feelings and emotions that we're teaching. The education system in America for the last 30 years has focused on teaching students how to feel. Education should teach students how to think, not to feel. Indoctrination focuses fully on the emotions of the individual. Education focuses on the minds of the people. We all have a tendency to react. It's not bad to have emotions. We react to people. We react to circumstances. But this is a dangerous way to make decisions. Emotions are apt to betray us. In 1980, Robert Plutchik, who was a psychologist and professor at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, he considered there to be 8 primary emotions: anger, fear, sadness, disgust, surprise, anticipation, trust, and joy. Plutchik also created a wheel of emotions. You have to Google it. I looked at it today. It's pretty interesting. A more recent study in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences by Cowan and Kettner identified 27 distinct categories of emotions. I'll just read them off to you. Admiration, adoration, aesthetic appreciation, amusement, anxiety, awe, awkwardness, boredom, calmness, confusion, craving, disgust, emphatic pain, entrancement, envy, excitement, fear, horror, interest, joy, romance, sadness, satisfaction, sexual desire, sympathy, triumph. There's a lot of emotions that are out there. But don't make big decisions on your emotions. That's what happened with Rehoboam. He got caught up with his emotions, his pride, his jealousy, and he decided to make a decision here. Notice the verse here. Look at verse number 11. We'll read down here. Let's see. Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, "Come to me again the third day." So now Rehoboam's about to make his decision for the people of Jeroboam, for the people and for Jeroboam. And here's what he said. Remember back in verse number seven there. I'm trying to get us to follow. Stay with me. It's Wednesday night. It's like a Bible study. All right? Hang in there. You're like, "Pastor doesn't really make us look at the Bible that much." Yeah, he does. You just don't pay attention. All right? Verse 7. Notice the counsel of the old men. They said, "If thou wilt be a servant to this people this day and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants." But notice what the peers, the counsel of the young men, here's what happens. And so Jeroboam, in verse number 13, the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. Can you see his emotion and his feelings now? Look at verse 14. "And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, 'My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.' Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite and Jeroboam the son of Nebat." So when all of Israel saw the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion have we in David?" They got caught up in this decision-making from Rehoboam because of his emotions. Have you had a bad day before? Yes. Like, I raise both my hands and both my feet. There's been days when I tell the teenagers, you think Brother Tony just gets out of bed and runs and like he's ready to go. No, there's some days I just like crawl out of bed and just hit the ground and crawl, you know. My wife will tell you, like, I'm crawling to the other room trying to stretch. And I got to get up and brush my teeth. I don't want to get going. But those are the times that I can't quit because I'm emotionally kind of low. Tony, now's not the time to walk out on your family because you're emotionally low. Tony, now's not the time to quit ministry and quit church because you're emotionally low. Tony, now's not the time to stop loving teenagers. Tony, now's not the time to be critical of lost sinners who need the Savior and the gospel. Tony, your kids are looking to you. Tony, your neighbors need your support. Tony, you're to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tony, don't make big time decisions on your feelings and your emotions. So if we're not to make those big time decisions on our emotions, what are we to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. We are to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Hey, what should you do? You should delight yourself in the law of the Lord, and in his law you should meditate day and night. This leads me to the last point. in your decision making. Let God and His Word lead you. Let God and His Word lead you. Remember this truth. Remember this principle. God leads by truth, not by feelings. God leads by truth and not by feelings. So when you're angry, what do? Let's go to the Word of God. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth the spirit than he that taketh the city. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, it says, to be put away, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. What about fear? What should we do when we're dealing with fear? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in what? In trouble. Psalm 23, verse 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What about worry? I feel like we've heard messages about worry a lot lately. So what do? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Alan Redpath goes on to talk about your emotions. And he says this, whatever you do, stand still. Wait until you have a word from the Lord. Cast yourself on your knees and cry out to Jesus for mercy and for help. Wait upon God until He makes His way plain in your life. He goes on to say, speaking about your emotions, never act in panic. Trust the Word of God. An author from Time Magazine said, young adults live off their parents and they bounce from job to job and hop from mate to mate. And notice this last phrase from this quote in Time Magazine. Young adults are having fun, but seemingly going nowhere. That last phrase, I believe, is a great description of our generation. Having fun, but going nowhere. How do you make the right decisions? Seek godly counsel. Don't make decisions based on your emotions and your feelings, and then be led by the Word of God. A steady diet in the Word of God will make me stronger in my decision making. Look, teenagers and adults, myself included, let's be guided by God's Word. Don't expect to make wise decisions if you separate yourself from the only source of true wisdom. What is that? Yes. Don't expect to make wise decisions, teenagers. Adults, Tony, don't expect to make wise decisions if you separate yourself from the only source of true wisdom. And that's the Word of God. That's why I'm going on a rabbit trail here. Miss Rachel, help me out. She's like, you always tell stories and they are detailed oriented. Hey, that's why, teenagers, I always encourage you, get a notebook out. And when the pastor's preaching something, write it down so you can follow along, because we're trying to get the Word of God in your life so you can make godly decisions. And that goes to all of us. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night as you come, don't just come and sit. Try to get something from God's Word, because the pastor's trying to help us to make godly decisions. And we need to be guided by His Word. So as we come to a conclusion here, I don't have time to go to this last point, but if you look at the life of Rehoboam, if he would just have learned to serve, he would have made the right decision. Notice what it says in chapter 12, verse 4. I guess this could be point number 4. Learn to serve others. You want to make the right decisions? Learn to serve others. Chapter 12, verse 4, the very last phrase. The people comes to Rehoboam, and here's what they say. We will serve thee. Look at verse 7, the counsel from the old men. They said, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Warren Wiersbe said this, if you look back at the counsel that was given to Rehoboam from the older men, the people were willing to serve Rehoboam, if only he would serve them and make life a bit easier for them. Rehoboam should have followed the great leaders of the past. Moses, Joshua, Samuel, his grandfather David, all those men were great leaders, made great decisions. Why? Because they learned to serve the people. But you know what Rehoboam did? He followed the footsteps of his dad and chose to be a celebrity. Matthew Henry said, the way to rule is to serve, to do good and to stoop to do it, to become all things to all men and so win their hearts. Those who are in power really sit highest and easiest and safest when they take this method. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our greatest example. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For Mark 10:45. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Man, I think it's Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Our pastor's been preaching through the book of Philippians. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant. If you'll learn how to serve, I think you'll learn how to make right decisions. So we find here, just some Bible principles from this story about making the right decisions. So I asked the question, as I asked Daniel, are you making the right decisions? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, 9. Brother Earl quoted it even this past week. Dr. Sis mentioned it in our mission conference. Like, you reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap after you sow. So let's commit to seeking godly counsel, not making decisions based on how we're feeling, and being led by the Word of God. How many of you know of someone, maybe in your life, that have made a bad decision and they're paying for it right now? Would you raise your hand? I think we all do. Let's not be part of the statistics, and let's make the right decisions. Daniel, I'm going to ask you to come back up here. You had 10 bags, one decision, and you picked bag number 7. One of the bags has a $10 gift card to Brahms. The 9 others have absolutely nothing in it. Can you tell me why you picked number 7?
I don't know.
Okay. You like purple?
Yeah.
7 your favorite number?
Yeah.
You look back at Brother Alton and Miss Liz and they said, pick number 7? Or maybe you just kind of thought, I don't know. That's probably the number that has a $10 gift card. Well, I'll tell you this. Number 7's maybe. There's only one other person in this room tonight that actually knows which bag has a $10 gift card. I'm going to give you one chance to change your mind. Brother Earl, he's the only other person that has the right answer. You can stay with number 7 or Brother Earl if you want to give him some advice, some counsel, and helping him make the right decision. Which bag would you choose, Brother Earl?
I wouldn't choose number 7.
You wouldn't choose number 7. He's right. What bag would you choose?
I would choose number 2.
You'd choose bag number 2. You can either have bag number 2, Daniel, or any other bag. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Why don't you open it up and see what you have in there? The $10 gift card. Let's give Daniel a hand. Are we making the right decision? Let's seek after godly counsel. Let's not make decisions just based on our emotions and our feelings. Let's be led by God's word. Would you pray with me tonight? Thank you for your attention.